lead singing, so I spoke instead, but then I realized that probably wouldn't fly. So, as Aaron mentioned, I did impose on him, I know he's heartbroken about this, to lead three extra songs during our lesson. One of them will be what we call Send the Light, but we'll be replacing the word send with the word take. So the lesson is about taking the light. Is this a clicker? Great. So I've always heard, tell them what you're going to tell them, and then tell them, and then tell them what you told them. So 3 points that we'll make tonight will be an example in your life, actively take the light, and then do it for life, not one. You know, in basketball, there's a term one and done. That means one, you play one season in college, and then you go to the pros. So don't be a one and done evangelist. Do it for life. So the first point that we'll look at is to be an example, and we'll talk a little about what that means. Kennedy this morning prayed in his prayer, Matthew 16, to let your light shine before men. He said, please let our light shine before men so they can see your glory. And Matthew 5, 13 and 16, Matthew 5, verse 13 through 16 says, you are the salt of the earth. But if salt has lost its taste, how shall its saltiness be restored? It is no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled under people's feet. You are the light of the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hidden, nor do people put a lamp and light it and put it under a basket, but on a stand. And it gives light to all the whole house. In the same way, let your light shine for others so they may see your good works and give glory to your Father who is in heaven. We also want to live our faith in a public way and publicly. There are a couple of contrasting stories that I'd like to think about tonight. The first happened to someone I knew a few years ago. And someone at work said to them, what makes you so different? I can tell you live differently, but what is it about you that makes you live differently? And so the person had an opportunity there to say, well, let me tell you why. Aaron has mentioned a story about another fellow who made this decision to be a full-time minister of the gospel. And someone at his work told him, you know, I never knew that you were even a Christian. And this person privately broke down over that because, you know, for obvious reasons, there are two contrasting stories here. One where you can just tell from someone living differently and someone else not living differently. And so being public about our faith will have an immediate impact or effect on those around us. Now, one of the things that, and I have to credit my wife with this, she said, yeah, you know, we all know that we should be doing stuff, but we don't exactly always know how. So can you give some practical examples? And so I'm going to try my best to give a few, not exhaustive by stretched imagination, practical examples. And by the way, I've heard this before, so I can't take credit for it. But when I say you, I really mean we. I've heard that you know, when I point the finger at you, I have three pointing back at me. And so this sermon is for me as much as it is for everyone else. So one way we can do this is to keep a Bible visible at our place of business, whether it's our work or our school. We can leave it on our desk. And that's a good conversation starter. One guy came to me and saw the Bible and said, "Oh, you have a sword on your desk." And I'm like, "Yeah." And so we started talking about that exact thing that happened at a company close by here. So another way that you could do this is to let people see you reading or praying. Now, be careful, because we don't want to be like the Pharisee that prayed so loudly that he was calling attention to himself. I don't think any of us are at risk of that. So the point is not to be concerned about praying before you eat in a restaurant, or letting people see you reading your Bible or praying. Sometimes you can even go to a coffee shop and sit down and read the Bible, so people can see, yeah, people in our society do read the Bible sometimes. That's an okay thing to do. So let people catch you reading the Bible or praying yourself, because then they'll ask you later, they might ask you, "What were you doing?" And then you've got an opportunity to tell them. People tend to love music. So a lot of times you can do things like, if you're inclined, listen to music to yourself and sing it out loud. And people, "Hey, what you listening to? What you doing there?" They'll ask you. And so that's another way that you can do it. One of my favorite things to do, I think you probably all know this, is hand out CDs of the Dinah singing. So that's a good way to, not only when I'm visiting congregations, invite other people to that singing, but also people in the world, when they are interested in music or express an interest in music, I've got an acapella CD. "Well, sure, I'll take that one." And that can really have an impact on folks. Finally, and I put this up for you, Aaron, that engage in discussions that might naturally lead to a conversation of something religious. Give you an opportunity to insert something in the conversation that's a biblical reference. We have a song in our books that Aaron's about to lead for us called "The World's Bible." And remember, this is an opportunity for us, because as the song says, we are the only Bible that some people ever see and read. And we'll talk a little bit later about how you just never know something you do will have on someone. And so one of the things that we can do is live our lives as an example in such a way that people can see our faith coming through, and we can then lead them to the real Bible. But we are the only Bible, the first line of defense, as it were. So, Aaron, at this time, you'll lead the world's Bible for us.
So as Madison said, at this time we're going to sing song number 460, "The World's Bible."
No soul, Christ has no hands but our hands to do His.
Our next point is to be active. So the first point was really about living our faith publicly. The second is, that's a great start, but that's really not enough. And so our command is to go. So as Jesus wrote in the Great Commission at the end of Matthew, I'm going to skip it because I don't think we have time to read it, but there are many times throughout the Gospels that we receive the command, go. Go into all the world, go to the ends of the earth, go to Samaria, Judea, and the ends of the earth. So there are many times in the Bible that we are commanded to go. So we'll talk about ways we can do this, practical ways to do it. The first we really want to mention is volunteer projects in the community. There is a huge need out there, and it's very easy to be involved in volunteer projects. So there are master service organizations that are just begging for people to volunteer at multiple agencies throughout the Bay Area. So there's Second Harvest Food Bank, there's Sacred Heart Community Services, there's RAFT, for Resource Organization for Teachers, there's a blind center, books allowed to record things on tape to listen to have blind people listen to. That's just four agencies, and there are dozens of them, and they're all over. So you can choose to volunteer at a place very close to you, and it's a great way to reach people. Good people who care about their community. So one of the things that you do when you do that is have the opportunity to get yourself out there and meet people that are good prospects. So this is a way to get into the community, to see people. I am a little tired of people use Galatians 6, 10, do good to all people, especially those of the household of the faith, as an excuse not to do this. Because the number of times that we receive the command to go into the community far outnumbers this one passage. Now, I don't want to deny this passage or discourage anyone from serving each other in the church. So I want to be clear about that. Our group is special in the way that we support each other, and that's great. One of the things that Christ also commands is go. And one way that we can go and take the light is through volunteer projects. And in fact, Christ, in the final judgment, so I will read this, Matthew 25, this is kind of a long passage, 31 through 45, the way Jesus describes the final judgment is this: when the Son of Man comes in His glory and all the angels with Him, then He will sit on His glorious throne. Before Him will be gathered all the nations, and He will separate people from one another as a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. And He will place the sheep on His right, but the goats on His left. Then the king will say to those on His right, "Come, you are blessed by my Father. Inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave me food. I was thirsty, and you gave me drink. I was a stranger, and you welcomed me. I was naked, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you visited me. I was in prison, and you came to me." Then the righteous will answer him, saying, "Lord, when do we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you drink? And when did we see you a stranger and welcome you, or naked and clothe you? And when do we see you sick or in prison and visit you?" And the king will answer them, "Truly I say to you, as you did it to one of the least of these my brothers, you did it to me." And I won't read the rest, because he also then turns to the unbelievers and says the same thing. But clearly, one of the criteria Christ will use, we know, at the final judgment, in fact, maybe the only criteria, will be how active we are in service. So this is not for all of us, but for those of us who are electronic, use social media to outreach. At least put in your profile that on whatever service is your favorite or you use frequently. So if you don't have, remember, Christ said, "If you deny me before men, I will deny that I know you." And he also said, "If you acknowledge me before men or confess me before men, then I will confess that I know you at the final judgment." And so, remember, one of the things that we are obligated to do is hold our hand up, including online, and say, "Hey, you know, I'm a member of the church." And that's a good first step. But if you use social media to include that in your posts, it is a great thing. So anytime you can reference Christ, Jesus, the church in your posts, that's awesome. We have Aaron talked recently about going outside our comfort zone. He mentioned how Philip and Luke went to Samaria, and it wasn't comfortable for them. They did not like going to the Samaritan population. Ironically, the people we love, the people we care about, are often the hardest to talk to because they know us so well. But if we go outside our comfort zone, You never know what you're going to encounter out there. And so the people that are that we don't know are just as important to God as the people we do. And so sometimes that's easier. I would also say to use some printed material, and we will have that available. So to be able to use a handout to invite, like a little business card, to invite people to church, and we will get those in the, on the back table. So we have them, and we will distribute those. So those are just a few ideas of how to actively, again, this is not an exhaustive list, but it's a few ideas of how to actively take the light, which is a song Aaron will lead for us now.
So as Madison said, this is a song that we do know as Send the Light. But as you'll see, Madison has replaced the words on the slide. So it says, take the light. Now, if you're on autopilot and you just sing Send the Light because you're on autopilot, I don't think either one of us is going to get upset. I'm going to try not to turn on autopilot while I lead this song. So I'm going to try and sing Take the Light, but no promises, Madison. Well, let's go ahead and sing this song. And also, there's a call comes ringing o'er the restless wave. Take the light, take the light. There are souls to rescue, there are souls to save. Take the light, take the light, take the light. The blessed gospel light, let it shine from shore to shore. Take the light, the blessed gospel light, let it shine forevermore. We have heard the Macedonian call today. Take the light, take the light, and the golden offering at the cross we lay. Take the light, take the light, take the light, the blessed gospel light, let it shine from shore to shore. Take the light, the blessed gospel light, let it shine forevermore. Let us pray that grace may everywhere abound. Take the light, take the light, and the Christ-like spirit everywhere be found. Take the light, take the light, take the light, the blessed gospel light, let it shine from shore to shore. Take the light, the blessed gospel light, let it shine. Let us not grow weary in the work of love. Take the light, take the light. Let us gather jewels for the crown above. Take the light, take the light, take the light, the blessed gospel light, let it shine from shore to shore. Take the light, the blessed gospel light, let it shine forevermore.
So whatever you do, don't stop. This is not something we, as I mentioned at the beginning, this is not something we do that's a one-and-done thing. So do not fear rejection is natural as a human to fear rejection. But if you think about it, all people can say is no. And they might say no and later say yes. You just don't know. But you won't know. There's a baseball expression. You won't know unless you swing the bat. You have to swing the bat. You have to try. And you won't know unless you try. Remember that Jesus will treat us the same way as we are treating other people. The next point is don't quit on people so easily. Right? So, but this, like, don't give up on people that you're trying to reach. But at the same time, Christ tells us in Matthew 10 to shake the dust off our, actually, several gospels say, shake the dust off your feet if they won't listen to you. And so there's a fine line between being persistent and using your time wisely and helping someone else. Christ told a parable about the sower. We don't have time to read that. But if you remember, Jesus said, the kingdom of heaven is like a farmer who's planting seeds, and some falls on stony ground, the birds come and take it away. Some grow up, but then the thorns come and choke them out. That's the cares of the world. What's interesting about this parable is that this is the one parable, that's the one place where Christ explains why he talks in parables, and then he explains what the parable of the sower means. And what it means is we're spreading seeds around, because some's going to fall on good ground and grow and give an increase. But the point is we don't know. We're not called. In fact, it was Steve Shambaugh at Newark Church of Christ who one time we got in a conversation about evangelism, and he said, well, we're not called to be soil testers, right? And I was like, yeah, I knew what he meant by that, because we're called to spread the seeds around. We may water or plant, someone else may water, someone else may, and God gives the increase always. So the idea is that we cast our seeds all over the place and we sow the seeds for other people to take care of them. And you may not, so don't get discouraged if you plant the seed and later someone else comes along and waters it. And you may never see the person baptized. So many times people will ask, well, how many people have you converted? And that's a bogus question, in my opinion. You don't, because you don't know how to answer that. Because you have contributed to someone's spiritual development, and they may not answer that call for 20 years. They may have relocated and gone to a different place, and all of a sudden someone else talks to them about the gospel. So that's the work that we're all called to do. And we're not called to be soil testers, but we are called to do it frequently and always. So do not keep score of souls. This is, as Paul said, a marathon, right? Not a sprint. So there's an expression in business. This is irrigation, not a thunderstorm that we're going for. So we're going for something that we do constantly all our life, no matter what age we are. So all folks, young and old, can, and don't, when, please, do not, when you leave, think, I've got to do better for next week or next month. But it's something we do all of our lives. Creating that discipline starts, it may start right away, but have you ever met people who are so impassioned and then they lose that over 6 months? So, and it may not be about necessarily about Jesus, but they might be impassioned about Tupperware or sports, and they've latched on to something. 6 months later, it's like, what happened to that? So we don't want that to happen to us. If we are active, we're active for life. It's like committing once, like once a Marine, always a Marine, right? So you've committed to a service. Do it until Jesus comes again. So Aaron's going to lead us now in how long we work. We'll work till Jesus comes.
Number 396, we'll work till Jesus comes. No surprises on this song.
Do mi so mi do, O land of rest, for thee I sigh, when will the moment come, when I shall lay my armor by and dwell in peace at home. We'll work till Jesus comes, we'll work till Jesus comes, we'll work till Jesus comes and we'll be gathered home. No tranquil joys on earth I know, no peaceful sheltering dome. This world's a wilderness of woe, this world is not my home. We'll work till Jesus comes, we'll work till Jesus comes, we'll work till Jesus comes and we'll be gathered home. To Jesus Christ I fled for rest, he bade me cease to roam and lean for succor on his breast till he conduct me home. We'll work till Jesus comes, we'll work till Jesus comes, we'll work till Jesus comes and we'll be gathered home.
So I do have one quick bonus point to make, and that is, in debate, we often have answers to arguments. So these are answers to common excuses that we have as to why we can't do evangelism. One is, I don't have the gift of evangelism. First is, remember, this is not optional. It's not something that's a choice. Christ said, go. Are you going to say no? The second is, yes, you do. You have the gift of evangelism. Are you saying that you can't do any of the things that I've suggested? We all can. Even the youngest among us can do that. The third is evangelism is really not a gift. So there are lists of spiritual gifts in Romans 12, 6 through 8, 1 Corinthians 12, 4 through 11, 1 Corinthians 12, 28. None of them list evangelism as a gift. Evangelism is it's like prayer, where it's something we're commanded to do. It's not it's not like I have the gift of prayer or you have the gift of prayer, but other people don't. Everyone prays without ceasing, and people do evangelism or prayer in different ways. So evangelism is not a gift. It's a process. Some people say, I don't know what to say. Well, the first thing I can mention is that didn't work out very well for Moses, right? When Moses said, I don't know what to say, he said, we'll send Aaron to speak for you instead. Others can't speak for you. We have our own Aaron who can speak for us. We also have a list in the lobby of people who are willing and able to have personal Bible studies. So even if you can't do that, you can have other people do it. I was referencing an individual. I don't know if you remember Josue. He moved to Texas now. So he was a work colleague of Mary's that she brought to church. Aaron started communicating with him and asked him a bunch of questions, but Aaron didn't have time to take away from Sunday morning class, so Charles studied with him. So it was a tag team effort. At least three people were involved. So you cannot say, I can't do this, I don't know what to say, because others can speak for you and will help you. And remember, it's not about you anyway. Right? So there's as you might know, I'm a Tennessee fan, and we had the number one basketball team in the country until we lost to Rupp Arena yesterday. But all the Tennessee basketball players wear a bracelet that says INAM. Is not about me. And so they're very selfless as a result. It works. So it's not about you, it's about God. Remember, Paul said, I planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. So all of us in a team effort, teaming up for evangelism, can rely on God, because God will provide for us. The last point that I'll make on this excuse is that I often hear is that when God provides for us, he told the apostles, by the way, before he sent them out two by two, he told them, when you have to give a defense for what you believe in front of powerful people, don't worry about what to say. God will tell you what to say. So God always provides. And I think that's the end of our time. So remember to be an example. Remember to take the light by being active. And remember to do it for life, not stop. So we have an invitation song that Aaron has selected for us. And if you have the willingness to join us in the work and working till Jesus comes again, we will offer the opportunity for you to come forward and please join us in partnership in this effort, and God will provide that solution for you. If you need prayers for any reason, you can come forward also. From an evangelism perspective, everyone doesn't have to come forward and say, you know, I can do better with evangelism. You can just make up your mind that this is something you're going to recommit your life to and do it for life. But if you have the willingness to join us, or you need prayers for any reason, please come forward while together we stand and sing into our hands.